Again, for those of you just joining us today, we've been walking through a letter that a follower of Jesus named Paul wrote to a group of people that God had used to enter the grace of Christ through Jesus. And he has heard astonishing things about these people, that they are being pressured to add to the grace of Christ. And he writes them, burdened for them, carrying their burdens with them. And in the last section of this letter, he says some very important words that call us to help one another grow in the grace of Christ. That it makes it clear that it's not enough in Paul's mind and in God's mind that we take responsibility for our own life in Christ, whatever our spiritual starting point is, but that we start to extend ourselves into the lives of one another. The passage that in just a short time I will read with you begins like this. Just listen now. I'll invite you to turn to it in a moment. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently, but watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Before I read that passage for you, I want to extend to us four words of caution and three words of approach, and then pray that the Spirit would guide us into this passage and into our celebration of the Lord's Supper. The first word of caution is that there are some of you here who have come out of a Christian background that love the practical parts of Scripture. You love it when you read in Scripture and you get to the to-do list. Oh, finally there's some things that I can do. Yeah, and the danger of Galatians, if you've journeyed with us, that's a problem. Because he has spent the whole time helping us see that we are brought into the grace of Christ through Christ, and we are not to add any to-do lists to living in the grace of Christ. So, it's not as easy as you think what Paul is saying, even if you like to-do lists. The second word of caution that I have to say, because it happens so many times, including amongst us, is that you would separate this last chapter of his letter from the rest of Galatians. I have heard some great talks on Galatians 6, verses 1 through 10, that never connected them to chapters 1 through 5. About the importance of carrying one another's burden, but that each person must carry their own load, and we were grappling with it and thinking profound thoughts, and never once did we connect it to what Paul has been saying in the first five chapters, which were only added later. It was one letter written to these people. A great danger for all of us is that we allow something we read in Scripture to launch us into old ideas. That we read this and say, oh, I know what this says. And it launches us into ideas that may or may not be biblical. The great challenge in my Christian walk is to constantly be rebuked and corrected for all the heresy that yet remains in my mind and in your mind as well. That's why I urge us not to allow Scripture just to shape us, but that we would submit ourselves to the biblical story. And certainly as we come to Galatians 6, if we don't submit ourselves to what Paul has said earlier, we will go off in all kinds of directions that are not what Paul intended when he wrote these words. So it's not easy. A word of caution, even if you might think it is. Don't separate from the rest of the story. But there's a third word of caution that I want to say. As we look at this passage that says how we might help one another come to and live in the grace of Christ, is that we might miss a step. We have said clearly and looked at clearly in this invitation and calling that God gives to all people to live in the grace of Christ through this series that the manner in which we enter that grace is through Christ. We used many words. We looked at many words in Galatians that talked about that. We use words like redeemed, that Jesus rescues us, he adopted us, he forces us to grapple with the offense of the cross. We talked about how the Holy Spirit produces faith, all things that come out of Galatians. So that first step, that before you can live in the grace of Christ, we need Jesus to bring us into that grace. As I've already said, we've talked about the second step, all involved in living in the grace of Christ ourselves, the way the Spirit works in our life, truth speaks into our life. So the next step we might think is that, okay, I've been brought into the grace of Christ through Christ. I'm now living in the grace. I am ready to help others. Right? Wrong. What is Paul doing in his letter? The very thing we need people to do in our lives. God forbid that we should be helping others live in the grace of Christ if we don't have people speaking strongly into our life. One of the great faults of Christian leadership is when Christian leaders, whatever their arena of influence, think they are above correction, or think that they no longer need to be mentored, or they think they no longer need to grow. If we are seeking to help others grow in the grace of Christ but don't have people that speak into our life, whoa, we run a huge risk of falling into sin and don't even know about it. Especially when we look at the kind of sins that Paul talks about in this passage. And that leads to the fourth word of caution. God has likely brought such people already into your life. But the human tendency is to silence their voices because we hate to be corrected. We hate to have... I hate to be corrected. I hate to have someone say to me, Tim, I think there's some areas in your life where you really need to not only grow in the grace of Christ, but I think you're still enslaved to some things of the flesh. It's not the kind of thing that you wake up every morning saying, come at me, brother. Come at me, sister. Right? So when God brings into your life brothers and sisters, or Christians if you're not yet a Christian, who begin to care for you and speak into your life, what's our human tendency? Oh, you've offended me. You've hurt me. What gives you the right to speak into my life? Right? And we go through all these things, or we don't do anything. We just pull away from them because they make us feel uncomfortable. Now, I want to go a bit deeper because I want to focus for a moment on those of you that are married and for those of you that wish you were. One of the people that God brings into the life of a married couple to lead them deeper into the grace of Christ and to point out sins of the flesh that they need to pay attention to is our spouse. But what happens in so many marriages? Marriages, they come together and they're both perfect. And they begin to see that they're not. Yeah? And what do? Oh, you're not perfect! Or they gently start to prod. You know, you might want to work on that in your life. And the other spouse, and we won't say which gender, you know, reacts, silences. And yet it's the grace of God to have someone care so deeply about you that they point out ways in which you need Jesus to change your life. And actually, these are some of the areas where the Spirit of God wants to change. Boy, hear me carefully on that one, married couples. This is a biggie. But there's another one that affects all of us. God uses children too. But it's not through their voices. It's through their eyes. It's through their body language. It's through your sinful behaviors that they begin to imitate. Yeah? Where did they start to learn how to use those kind of words? How come they're starting to learn how to gossip and slander? Where did that come from? Yeah? Boy, how come they're so much busy living to be great, to earn people's approval? Where does that come from? Parents and children, one of the great gifts of God's grace that He has given you is that our children show us our sin. Our children show us ways we need to grow in the grace of Christ. It's a gift. But, so, having said that, these words of caution, that it's not easy, let's not separate Galatians 6 from the rest, we can miss steps, and our human tendency is to silence those that God's already bringing to our lives. Let me now mention briefly how I'm going to approach this. I'd like to read the passage with you and have you carefully walk through it with me. I then want to flip the passage and point out some of the ways God, the Holy Spirit, uses brothers and sisters to help us live in the grace of Christ. I know the passage talks about how we can help others, but I'd like to flip it and look at how God uses others to help us grow in the grace of Christ. Because as we become attentive to how God's using people in our lives, only then, maybe, possibly, sometimes, can He begin to use us in the lives of others. And I hope that by the end of our time this morning, it will bring us to the cross of Christ. So I won't speak long, so that we have time in the presence of Jesus to celebrate the offense of the cross in the Lord's Supper this morning. So join me in a prayer. Lord in heaven, we are so thankful that over these last weeks you are teaching us about your grace. We are so thankful that your invitation and calling to live in the grace of Christ come to all people, and that your Spirit's been working in many of us who do not yet stand in your grace, such that we are slowly being brought into your grace through Jesus. We are so thankful, even though it's painful, for ways in which you are showing us how the actions of the flesh are not just things that happen in others, but all too often can hold us enslaved too. We pray now, O Lord, that you will open our understanding from this passage, not only to people that want to help us, but by areas in our lives that the Holy Spirit wants us to see are not what you want in the lives of those who say they live in the grace of Christ. O Lord, as you bring us into this passage, we pray you also bring us to the cross of Christ. Otherwise, how can we stand except through Christ? In Jesus' name, amen. Look with me then at the verse 10 verses of Galatians 6. If you're new here, we invite you to bring your own Bible in your own heart language. We will try to always stay with the passage that's our focus and not jump all over Scripture. If you're getting very hot, it's because the heat is now on, and those of you by windows might do us all a service to open them a crack. And for those of you that believe that you'll get sick if we do that, then leave them shut. Galatians 6. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's weights, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ, which he said earlier, the law of Christ being to love your neighbor as yourself. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. For each of you should carry their own load. Nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with their instructor, that is, with the one that has taught them. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. So let's look at some of the ways the Holy Spirit uses brothers and sisters to lead us into the grace of Christ, to lead us better into walking in the Spirit. Look first of all at what he says in verse 1. And I'm going to point out 7 ways the Holy Spirit works, and I won't spend a lot of time on each one. The first way is that the Holy Spirit brings into our lives people that care that we are caught in a sin. Now let me explain the meaning of these words, caught in a sin, because it will help us understand the subtlety that these people that God brings into our lives see in our lives, which is why it's essential that they themselves live in the Spirit. The word sin here means a false step. Thinking of the passage that just came before where we were called to keep in step with the Spirit. So to be caught in a sin is, whoa, suddenly you catch yourself that you're out of step with the Spirit. So it's vital that we not load on this meaning all of our past history of what we've defined as sin. But it's sin related to falling out of step with the Spirit. The word caught is also an interesting word because it means that one is surprised. One is seized on without warning is another definition of this word. Let me give you another definition. Suddenly invaded, taken before he is aware. Now, many of you have experienced this, where you're seeking to walk in the Spirit is leading you, the Spirit is leading you, and all of a sudden something of the flesh that we talked about last week surfaces in you, and you think, where did this come from? You are surprised by this sudden rage of anger. You are surprised by this sudden jealousy. You are surprised by this hatred that you have toward another, or this sense of being wronged by someone unjustly. And it just surfaces in you, and it surprises you. And it seizes upon you without warning. It's like, whoa, you were having a good day, and then all of a sudden, whoosh, it seizes upon you. So what Paul is talking about here is of when a person falling out of step with the Holy Spirit surprises themselves by being caught. Whoa! And part of the work of the Holy Spirit is to bring into our lives people that care about that. Now, let me highlight some of the things Paul said in his letter related to some of these sins out of step with the Spirit that were of particular concern to him. I've mentioned a few just casually, but let me be more intentional. One of the ways where we can fall out of step with the Spirit that's of deep concern to Paul is when we pervert the gospel by adding to the grace of Christ. You may recall earlier in the series where I read from chapter 1, Paul writes that he's astonished that they are so quickly deserting him who called them to live in the grace of Christ. And then he says, evidently some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. So one of the ways that we can fall out of step with the Holy Spirit is when we pervert the gospel. And it catches us, surprises us unaware. Another way in which we can be caught by surprise and fall out of step with the Spirit is something that was mentioned in Galatians 2 by Paul, and it happened to Peter. one of the followers of Jesus and Barnabas, who had partnered with Paul in sharing the gospel. What happened in Antioch is that the Jews and Gentiles were displaying their oneness in Christ. We are one through the grace of Christ. But when some people came from Jerusalem that said, no, the grace of Christ isn't enough. You need to add this behavior to what you do. What happened was Peter saw them come and he separated himself from the Gentile Christians as if to suggest we really do need to add to the grace of Christ. So this wasn't a perversion taught. This was a perversion modeled. Wow. This is one of the ways we can fall out of step with the Spirit when we, in our relationships with one another, add things that display something other than the grace of Christ, where we add ethnicity, where we add nationalism, where we add education, where we add economics, where we add gender, any way in which we say one person is better than another, or actually I'm better than another, and we fall out of step with the Spirit. Another area where Paul is deeply concerned, which I've already alluded to, is where we actually fall into slavery to the thing that we want to add to grace, where it actually holds us in bondage and we become miserable. And others see that in us. They see this bondage that we've put ourselves under because we believe that the grace of Christ is not enough, that we need to add to that grace. And we actually become enslaved and we carry these burdens. And these people see that in us. And we're surprised ourselves by how way down we are because of this misstep of the Spirit. I already mentioned the various actions of the flesh, which Paul highlights in Galatians 5, verse 19 through 21. I won't get into that, but it's important to note about those works of the flesh that Paul says there they are obvious, that it's obvious when someone is giving in to jealousy. It's obvious when someone's giving in to fits of rage. It's obvious when someone's giving in to envy. It's obvious when someone's giving in to hatred. Another misstep of the Spirit to which we can be caught. So the first thing I want you to note in terms of a way the Holy Spirit uses brothers and sisters in our life is that they care enough about ways in which we are caught by some of these sins that Paul has clearly pointed out to us in this passage. But now let's go on to verse 2. Because he says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Before we go on to that, I need to note something. I've already talked about that the people he brings into our lives are people who themselves are learning to live in the Spirit. These are people very sensitive to these matters. These aren't people that load on us guilt. These aren't people that load on us to-do lists. These are people who themselves are living in the Spirit and seeking to grow in the grace of Christ. And then he says at the end of verse 1, restore the person gently. And the word restore is used of mending of nets, which is a very delicate operation. When the nets of fishermen ripped, they had to mend them strong so that they wouldn't break in the same place again, but mend them delicately so that water could pass through. It's also used of bringing factions together. And Paul is very concerned about these divisions that show up within the body and were showing up in these various churches to whom he was writing. So this idea of restore the person gently, mend that hole in their net gently. And when it's about relationships with one another, divisions amongst each other, mend those relationships gently. And then he finishes in that section before we get to verse 2, watch yourselves or you'll be tempted. And you know how you would be tempted to start to think that you are doing a pretty good job, to start to think that this is their problem and not also your problem. It is a folly when you are helping someone caught in a sin to think that you have not been caught in that same sin. It's an illusion, it's a lie, and it's a heresy. When we think what others get caught by, the missteps of the Spirit, we are free from misstepping in. That's why when we start to involve ourselves in the missteps of others who invite us into our lives and whom we extend ourselves to, watch yourself, lest you also be tempted. Now, very quickly, look at the rest of the passage. In verse 2, he looks at another work of the Spirit that the Spirit does in the lives of brothers and sisters when they are brought into our lives. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. These are people the Spirit brings into our lives that care enough to carry our weight. That they look at our lives, and instead of judging us, which is so easy to do, oh my goodness, they are a sinner. That they care about the sin that we're caught in, but they care enough to carry our weight. They know that it's a burden to us. They know it's enslaving us, and they want to help. And what they model is humbly serving us in love. Not arrogantly, let me help you, but humbly serving us in love. Now let's look at a third work of the Spirit that we see in verse 3. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. These are people that see the self-deceptive pride in themselves that often we are deceived from. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. They don't deceive others. One of the joys that I have about those of you here that are not Christians but are coming to Christ, you sometimes see things more clearly than those who've been Christians for many years. And you smell pride. You see pride, even if we sometimes as Christians are deceived by it. Yeah? But the people the Spirit of God brings into our lives are people that see the self-deceptive pride in their own life and in us, even when we don't. Sometimes they'll even say it to us. They won't say it with words usually, right? They won't say, boy, are you proud. Only a spouse would do that. But their eyes might, ooh, there might be this, And see what happens in Christian ministry is we start to put the grand projects of pride that we want to accomplish ahead of this misstep of the Spirit. So those of us that see pride in one another say, yeah, but they're doing this great thing for God, so I'm just going to ignore that. Yeah? Because this great work of God is what's most important. Yeah? Yeah! While their pride is so obvious. Thanks be to God. When He brings brothers and sisters into our lives that see their own self-deceptive pride and also lovingly show it to us. God forbid that we go through our lives self-deceived. God forbid that we go through our lives self-deceived. I'm doing such great things for God, and meanwhile, God's been bringing people into our lives that we've silenced who are seeking to point out our pride. I don't need to say more about that one. Let me look at another work of the Spirit that we see in verses 4 and 5. Each of us should test their own actions, and they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. For each one should carry their own load. These are people that as they care about the sin that is catching us, as they start to share our burden, as they start to show us areas of pride in our life, these are people that also start to help us to carry our own load. When you start to be shown the depths of your sin that has entrapped you, these missteps of the Spirit, it can be so crushing that you say to those people God brings into your lives, I can't change. I'm powerless to change. And so they help you. they start to help you carry your own load. One of the ways they do that, as we see in verse 4, they help us start to test our own actions. The word there means to examine our own work to see if it's approved by God. And these people, that says to carry, they take pride in themselves without comparing. They help us to move toward Jesus without comparing ourselves to others. They want us to begin running the race again, which we talked about in chapter 5 or 7. Paul talks about running the race. They start to get us back on the race, and at first it's so hard. Our feet hurt, our legs hurt, our minds hurt, our hearts hurt. But as they help us, they start to help us focus on Christ who's at the finish line, and they run alongside of us so that after a while we start to feel like we're able to carry our own load. These are people God brings into our lives that don't leave us dependent on them because they need an ego trip. These are people that God brings into our lives that see ways we need to grow and get us running again, focused on Christ. And then look at verse 6. Another thing that happens with these people is that they delight to hear about our progress. They love to celebrate with us our small victories, and they grieve with us over the ways we failed. So when we meet with them, or when we Skype with them, or when we talk with them, they're eager to hear, what have you been learning about Jesus? And when you pray together, you find yourself more and more honest about confessing your sins with them. You start to acknowledge deeper areas where you need the healing of Christ. They celebrate the progress of Christ in your life. As we go further in verses 7 and 8, we see another work of the Holy Spirit in bringing such people into our lives. And you'll know this work when I read again what it says. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Now, I don't know about you, but when I hear those verses, oh, whoa, this is heavy stuff. God will not be mocked. God will not be deceived. God will not have us play games with Him. He is God. And the law is clear. What you sow is what you reap. If you sow to sin, what you reap is destruction. If you sow to that which the Spirit brings about, the Spirit brings about faith, which leads to anticipation for the righteousness that's in Christ, Paul has said earlier. If we sow to the Spirit, what we reap is eternal life in Christ. Now, when I hear that, thinking about the people that God brings into our life to help us live in the grace of Christ, to help us keep in step with the Spirit, what comes to my mind is that these people do not compromise the perfect standard to which God demands of all of us. When we say to those people, I've been making great effort and I think what I'm doing is good enough, they don't say, yeah, you're doing good enough. They hold before us the perfect standard of God's righteousness at which we all fail. So that as we, with that person, walk, we are brought again and again and again to the offense of the cross. Where we acknowledge, how can I then be saved if this is God's standard? But they bring us to see the righteousness of Christ. They bring us to see the eternal life in Christ. They bring us into the grace of Christ, either for the first time or again and again and again. And then finally, in verses 9 and 10, he talks about doing good. Look at what he says. Let us not become weary of doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. What is the good that he's talking about. Again, we can go off in different directions. Remember that Paul has talked about the promised seed to Abraham, which is Christ. And those who belong to Christ are part of Abraham's seed, so that those who belong to Christ are in Christ, the seed. And what is that seed produced by the Spirit is the fruit of God, the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of Christ. So when it's talking about doing good to others, first it's speaking of giving them the fruit of the Spirit that God is growing in you. And notice what they says. Whenever you have opportunity, and or as we have opportunity, and it's not saying if you have time, follow me and I will make you a fisher of others. As we are living in the Spirit, as the fruit of the Spirit is growing in us out of Christ, what happens is God brings into our lives people that we share the fruit of Christ with. And he says to all people, and especially to brothers and sisters, this fruit that's to be shared is not to be shared only with Christians, but it's to be shared with all people to whom this invitation and calling comes to live in the grace of Christ. But there's a danger that he says in this passage, verses 9 and 10, as the Spirit of God brings into our lives people that bring into our lives this good that the Spirit of God produces from the seed of Christ. What can happen is we become weary. Look what it says, do not grow weary. And what it means is do not loosen. Do not loosen. And all of you know what this is like. When God brings someone into your life, and initially they have energy to walk with you, but you're not easy to work with. A matter of fact, sometimes you're impossible to work with. And sometimes they start to say in their own privacy, God, can you really change them? And they start to fall victim to the lie that we fall victim to. They're never going to change. Yeah? And they start to become weary and they start to loosen their involvement in our lives. Don't grow weary. And then he finishes by saying, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. What's the harvest? The fruit of the work of the Spirit in their life. The fruit of the work of the grace of Christ in their life. So, let me come back to the question I asked at the beginning. Do you have such people in your life? People that are living in the Spirit that He's bringing into your life, using them in your life to do this work that we've talked about, so that you may grow in the grace of Christ and you may walk in the Spirit. If you don't, and you are helping others grow in the grace of Christ, what are you doing? If you've been brought into the grace of Christ, have been seeking to live in the grace of Christ, and are missing the step of having someone attentive to your own missteps in the Spirit, but you're helping others, what are you doing? But He has brought them into your life, hasn't He? He has brought them into your life, hasn't He? Are you responding to the voice of the Spirit through these brothers and sisters who care enough that you live in the grace of Christ?